Now, your hallmark is adhesion, and your website for your seminars is even adhesion.com, if I remember correctly.
Yes.
Where are we on adhesives in dentistry right now?
Well, the trend right now, BJ, commercial trend, is towards so-called universal adhesives, which are, I think they're a market-driven product. People want something simple. My position is that I would rather spend 30 seconds more per tooth and do it right using a gold standard type material. So I'm not big on universals. I've got lots and lots of data to show. If people choose to do that, there are a couple of them that would probably be acceptable in the clinic. But I'm not at practicing at what I call an acceptable level. I want to be above that, BJ. And I've got the data to show that we can easily be above that as long as we're willing to spend about 30 seconds more per tooth to put on a really good adhesive. And these would be the two-step self-etch primers. A good example of Clearfield SE. Another one is Danville's Prelude SE. Another one's Adhese from Ivoclar. All those are first-class adhesives. And they take around 30 seconds more to put on.
And comparing all these things, tell me a little bit about the stability of the bond.
Well, that's an interesting issue because in Europe, they've done some interesting stability studies, and the bonds that are the most stable are the gold standard self-etch primers, the two-step, the ones I just mentioned, and they stay level. Bond strength stays level on those to, well, it's been one study tested out to 6 years now. And as opposed to the ones that use phosphoric etch, those decrease with time. The bond goes down. And so I think the state of the art is to use the self-etch primers. And the only negative about that is that sometimes the enamel bond is not as strong as with total etch. But we have lots of ways to overcome that. We can etch the enamel. We can put in our dentin bond first, a little flowable composite, and then go back and etch the enamel. That's what I do. So we get maximum bond everywhere, maximum durability. And we can beat this problem, PJ. It's just a matter of understanding it.
And you do a fair number of pulp caps when you hit pulp exposures.
No, I actually don't myself personally, BJ, because we don't deal much with caries in our practice. But we've done a few, but I rely on some research from a guy named George Bogan in Los Angeles that I think it was published in the ADA about 3 years ago. Somebody wants to look it up. George Bogan, ADA journal, I'm going to guess 3 years ago. He showed something like 98% success using MTA on bleeding pulps. And when we do a pulp cap, we follow George's advice. And these days there's a lot of other things that people are talking about, like these bioactive things. And, well, hey, you know, those things might be working, but show me a study where it's 98% successful at 9 years, and then I'll switch. You know, dical and stuff like that. And no way that's 98%. We all know that. 50% would be a really good result. So, you know, we gotta pay attention to the research and do what's right.
One thing that fascinates me about your work is the number of products that you've engineered over the years. What's your background that you've come up with some of these great?
Well, BJ, we've had a lot of fun with that. The first one I probably really got involved with was a sectional matrix. That goes way back in probably 84, 85 era. And at the time, it was Palladent, a sectional matrix. And then that's evolved. And these days, there's lots and lots of good matrices out there. And then the next one that I got involved in is a micro-etcher. Well, what evolved to a micro-etcher? And that's a Danville product because a lot of our adhesives require sandblast of the substrate, for example, gold or non-precious metal. These days, zirconia. Let's see. Well, around about 92, something like that, I introduced self-etch primers. And everybody, again, was in disbelief, but they proved out quite good. And then by 2005 or so, I introduced Healozone from Eddie Lynch.
What's your background that you were able to come up with all these ideas?
Oh, well, I'm an engineer, BJ, a PhD engineer, a ceramic engineer, and I have a pretty strong background in chemistry and all kinds of metallurgy and ceramics. So, you know, you can see sometimes you look at the dental literature and you say, wait a minute, these guys are missing on something key here. So that's helped quite a bit, having that background. And then when you have a network of people that you know that are really top-end engineers, well, a lot of times you can just ring them up and say, hey, you know, I need your help here. I'm trying to think through this. And for example, the alloy we used in our mega ring at Danville, that's a custom alloy that is, everybody thinks it's nickel titanium, but it's not. It's an unbelievably strong stainless steel with spring quality, and we engineered that one. Those are the kind of things we do, BJ. Sometimes it helps to have a little extra education there in some areas that are outside of dentistry.
Ray, it's going to be a very interesting day on March 13th. Thank you again for joining us. We really look forward to it.